Welcome. It's day two of the 10-day money magic marathon, and I always mix up the words. I'm so good at this thing. Okay, so you can play around with the way the words go too. I've got the recording on, which is great, and I'm just going to put us on lecture mode for a moment. While I do this first introductory part, and then, of course, we're going to have all of you or whoever wants to participate. And we had really great participation yesterday. That was fabulous. Thank you so much, everybody, because it's much easier for me to do my job when I know what's resonating and what's not resonating and or whatever. So, I just wanted to do a little bit of introduction here and about the theme of the day and the magic spell or the habit of the day, which encourages abundance in your life. And so what I wanted to talk about a little bit first is that abundance is an energy. It's a vibrational level, and it's an openness to receiving. So it's interesting to look at in what ways you are able to receive and willing to receive. Like some people will be willing to receive, let's say, from relatives, or from other people will be willing to receive from the state, for different programs, other people, and you may have a combination of these. Some of us will be willing to receive for what we do of value, but it's very interesting. A lot of change makers are not able to receive from actually what they give to the world that's most valuable. And that's kind of an interesting thing. And there's lots of reasons for that. And that's some of the things that we're going to uncover. So you, in the financial assessment, you will also see some questions which are geared to looking at areas in which you either receive or are willing to, actually often it's on the willing, what you're willing to spend your money on is very interesting to as well, because that's another place where it's you receiving. It's a you allowing yourself to have certain things, whether it be food, money for housing, or nice clothes, personal care. Everybody has a different, however broke or however rich you are, you'll find that that goes with you. If you weren't able to pay for certain things when you were really broke, I'll guarantee you, you're probably still pretty stingy about it when you've got money. Or at least that's what I've noticed with myself. So what we're looking at, if you want to increase abundance in your life, is really increasing your ability to receive. And it's increasing your, basically also your self-esteem, your, how would you put it, that your self-worth often, because if you don't think you're worthy to receive, you're not going to receive. So you put that energy out into the universe. And to tell you the truth, I never believed any of this stuff. I thought that was a, bowl of crap and all that. And I thought, you just worked hard or got an education, and, I got an education, like a lot of education, like two BAs and part of an MA and all those kinds of things. And I still didn't make a lot of money. So that was, over time, I just discovered more and more it's what we put out. It's our vibrational level. And noticed certain things in our family, like that the girls were, although they're equally talented in loads of ways, that the girls in our family were not making much money, and the boys were. So that was kind of, you can notice those dynamics and things that are happening in your family and, in your life. So what is interesting is that a child often openly receives, like until they get it kind of pushed out of them. Like if you ask a child if they want a candy or something else like that, they'll say yes. Please give it to me, and they'll have no problem receiving it. And I notice this a lot with my child. is that he had no problem asking for things or receiving it, whereas I do and have. And one of the things that was in our, I think I remember most from my mother, is that if you gave her a gift, she would say, oh, no, don't do that. Or there's almost a British thing, because she was from Britain, at least I assume it's a British thing, that you should almost refuse a gift out of, oh, are you really able to do that? Are you sure, actually this was the phrase, are you sure you want to give that to me or you can give that to me? And I find that I kind of say that often when somebody offering me food, you know, I'm over at their house and they say, oh, would you like an extra serving or something? And instead of saying whether I will really want it, I take a few seconds while I say, shall I really accept this or not? And then I think of their situation. Are they really struggling and do they really want to give me something or whatever? So it's just all these contortions around receiving rather than being open to it. So it's just to look at that. And one of the most important things in terms of opening our vibration to and getting at a better vibrational level for abundance is the habit of gratitude. Is the habit of not, I mean, it's all these things about recognizing what's good in one's life, whatever the situation is, even if you're struggling to pay the mortgage or rent, even if, you know, you don't know where you're living on beans. It's the approach of gratitude. And this is taught by a lot of people, and yet I bet most of us have a problem doing it. And the habit that is taught, and I've heard it again and again and again in different abundance courses and with different people, is to twice a day often is good, in the morning and the evening, is to say write down or say to yourself 5 reasons why you're grateful. And it's actually great if you just go through the day saying while you're grateful. And everybody has a reason for gratitude. And the way to bring this even further is actually to thank the universe for the difficult experiences, knowing, you know, when you have something that doesn't appear very lovely, and just saying thank you, knowing that experience may lead to something that's really great. In fact, often our most trying experiences do. So those are just a few things about, I would encourage you to just put this in your regular practice. And if you're anything like me, you're kind of used to complaining about life and, you know, woe is me and, oh, another thing has gone wrong and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, even around little things, like I notice when there's always things that go in a house or a kitchen or, you know, something breaks or whatever. And there's a pattern of just, and that's something that really isn't on the vibrational level of abundance, and it's important to just catch ourselves when we do it and reframe things. So I'm not going to talk about that for that much more because I'd like to get into our clearing, but that's something that I wanted to request that you really put that into practice. And also notice whenever you're reading about these subjects how many people actually emphasize it and have it's been an important part of their journey. So the thing that I wanted to clear around today is around being an outsider, because I think a lot of artists and creative people have had the experience, and healers have had the experience of being an outsider, and that has really shaped us. And it's kind of in fairy tales you'll see the ugly duckling who becomes a swan, and the ugly duckling is a swan who's born to, or at least is with ducks, and feels totally out of place, which doesn't mean there's anything wrong with them. They're just not, they just don't fit into that. And so many of you will have had that experience. So the Ugly Duckling is one fairy tale that talks to that, or one folk tale. And another folk tale that talks to this is the 13th, well, it's not, it's actually Briar Rose, which is a version of Sleeping Beauty. And I just wanted to read you something from what I wrote when I went in. I worked with a woman who's called Michelle Talker, who actually goes into the fairy tales and myths and in a really unusual way. And I can't quite go into all the details of how she does it, but what you do is you pick a fairy tale and you pick a character, and then you go into a moment in the fairy tale and tell it according to how you see it and feel it. And it's really, really good, and it's wonderfully indicative of some of the issues you have. So I'm going to be reading a short introduction to the fairy tale, just so that you know about it. And then after that, I'm going to read you something I wrote. And I'm going to read it to you with a bit of passion, because it is a pretty passionate tale. So the Briar Rose is about a childless king and queen who have their wish for a baby granted when the queen saves a lowly fish from dying. And the couple throws a feast in celebration and appreciation for their gift of their new daughter, Briar Rose, but make the mistake of leaving out one of the kingdom's 13 wise women, or fairies, depending on the version, off the guest list. And the 13th fairy, or wise woman, comes to the feast and curses Briar Rose that on her 15th birthday she'll be wounded by a spindle and die. And one of the other wise women is able to soften the curse, dooming her to sleep for 100 years. So this is the myth. And when I went into this fairy tale, I didn't take I could have taken the position of the queen, the king, another wise woman, or whatever. I had my choice. And what I chose was the 13th wise woman, who was the one who actually cursed Briar Rose. So I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to read this little thing, and here we go. And I think you'll see why I'm doing this in a moment. The 13th wise woman is really the classic outsider. And just by exploring this character, it really informed me of the role I played as an outsider and some of the things that I cursed. And so the moment explored is when the 13th wise woman is about to enter the banquet hall for the feast that she has been excluded from. And I'm writing this in the first person. So here we go. And I'm going to let it rip a little. Here I am outside the great hall. They are celebrating the arrival of the king and the queen's first child. All the wise women have been invited, but not me. They say it's because the king does not have enough gold plates and chalices for the 13 of us. What a reason to exclude me. Unbelievable! Does he have no imagination, or is he just caught up in the appearances of perfection? Perfection, appearances, what values do these people have? Only the very rich do not know how to share. Where I come from, we barely had a tin plate between 18 of us. Food was scarce, but nobody was left out. I have spent many years within the weaving guilds with the women who spin the gowns and the robes for the royalty. From my weaving, I have learnt the wisdom both in the warp and the weft. I'm not an ordinary spinner. I spin when it charms me in between my other endeavors. I am now wealthy, married to a noble husband. I am the youngest wise woman brought to the clan of late. While the other wise women deeply accept me, this rejection by royalty stirs in me a deep anger. I wonder, will these queens and kings ever learn? They were left without a baby for many years, and they still have not learnt to include. This situation is stirring up in me a deep anger, an anger that I'd almost forgotten since my marriage with my noble husband. The anger of stomach-gnawing hunger, the anger of the taunts and kicks of the higher-class children against us, the anger that the only way to get out of that grueling poverty was to become like them. Yet I never did become like them. Even in my marriage to my beloved husband, I was too wild, unpredictable even to myself. Here I stand outside, shaking with resentment and bitterness, not knowing what I shall do, clutching in my hands my gift. The fine wool raiment interlaced with tiny pearls and glittering sapphire and blessed with magic spells so that whatever the child does in her life will bring joy and enchantment to others. She will be a weaver of worlds. I enter the banquet hall. I look at them all, the king, the queen, the infant, the wise woman, and the other guests. Nobody looks at me. They turn away as if I did not exist. I stride to the baby girl. I utter the words, "You shall die at 15 at the pierce of a spindle." I see the look of shock on all their faces. I turn and march out. But within me is a terrible shame and guilt. In my impetuosity and rage, I have hurt an innocent baby, a girl who I could have loved so dearly. So that's my excerpt. And
what I would request of you right now is just to write
down for a moment or two what the
story brought up for you in terms of being an outsider, if in any way you have felt that you have cursed people, money, society, whatever, because you were an outsider, and maybe any anger you have felt about that. And then we're going to be going into a first clearing around being an outsider. And I'm just going to move right into that in a moment. And then after that, bring what those of you who are here would like to share about being outsiders and what you would like to clear. Okay, so I'm just going to take a little sip of water while I give you time to write a few notes, and you can always do more
later. Here we go. So, and you can find characters in the fairy tales where, you know, that you respond to, and I'll be bringing in other characters during this week. And there's some that you're going to respond to more and others less. And these are my interpretations of these characters, but they're just to give you an idea. You can have a completely different interpretation of a fairy tale character, and it will tell you about where you're at. And it's, you know, I find just exploring these characters very wonderful and very illuminating. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to start on the first clearing. And as I said yesterday, you don't have to do, if you know tapping of EFT, you can do that while I'm doing this stuff. If you don't, it doesn't matter. And we'll do the healing codes later together. But this one, you can tap. There's two ways that you can do EFT, forms of tapping, which are simpler than EFT and that work really well. And one of them is just to tap your left foot and then your right foot, then your left foot, then your right foot. Just tap your feet alternatively. Or another way is that you get two fingers and tap in between your eyebrows and just tap alternatively one one side of your eyebrow, one of your eyebrows and the other side, or just at the edge of the eyebrow in the middle. Okay, so let me see. I'm going to go into this and see what's in the ether here, and then we'll see how you're responding and what one issues you particularly want to throw in. So, even though I've felt like an outsider all my life, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I've felt like an outsider all my life, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I've felt like an outsider all my life, I deeply love and accept myself. They don't accept me. I'm too weird. I'm too strange. I look different. I am different. They can't figure me out. They can't figure me out, so they don't invite me. They don't let me come to the feast. I'm different. I'm different. I'm really different, and they don't understand. They don't understand at all what I'm all about. They think I should fit in, and I've tried to fit in. I've tried so much to fit in. You can't know how much I've tried to fit in, but it's always not working, not working, and I feel like an outsider looking in. At the feast, at the feast, at the feast of what other people benefit from, that other people can do, but I can't do the other things that people do that I can't do. I can't do, I can't do. I'm not allowed, I'm not allowed, I'm not given to because I am different. I have been taunted, I have been made fun of because I'm different. Because I'm not the same, because I don't fit into the mold, and I don't like the mold. I hex the mold. I curse the world. I curse this world, which is so damn stupid. I curse this world, which is so damn exploitative. I curse this world that is so sexist and homophobic and racist. I curse it. I curse it. I won't have anything to do with it. I won't have anything to do with the money which is used, used, used against us. The powers that be that make me fit in, I won't have anything to do with it. I won't, I won't, I won't, I won't, I won't, I won't. They can tempt me, but I won't. I'm not going to. I'm going to curse them. I'm going to curse them. I'm better than them. I am so much better than them. Okay, so that's the first round. You know, the part of the outsider, the cursing, the also almost a feeling of superiority that also divides us. So I'm going to open up the lines and see if there's any reaction to this or ideas coming from this, things that resonated. And right at the moment, I'm looking for the place where I'll take you off mute. So, anybody like to enter into this territory?
Hi, Katie. It's Katrina.
Oh, hi, Katrina. Thank you for being the first to come on around
this. I really, it's interesting, a piece that you just cleared is a piece that I've been working with hidden unconscious beliefs, and there is this piece that I think if we're more heart-centered people, this will cause a battle in us, and I can really feel that, and that is the idea that money makes you superior. And I think whether we project that superiority onto other people with money and then take them down from the tear them down from the throne, or we often can have a hidden shadow of feeling superior if we have money. And if we're, at least for me, being a heart-centered person, I can see that belief in myself and then kind of go to war inside And then it kind of stops more money from showing up because,
right,
you know, there's not, no, I really don't want to feel superior because that just is horrible. And I also don't want to feel inferior.
Yes. Yeah, both of which are poles of the same thing. Well, thank you for bringing that up because, often we don't allow ourselves to receive wealth or more money. Yeah, one, because of the values that are associated with it, and in your case, that money makes you superior, and we don't believe that, and yet there is something in us that does believe it,
mm-hmm.
because it's there in the culture,
right?
And we've assimilated it, and so for a lot of things around wealth, like that it's exploitative and all those things, well, why would we want to become a wealthy person if we associate unconsciously that wealth has all these elements in our society? So, wonderful. Anything else you wanted to say, or I'll see if anybody else wants to bring
up something.
Thank you. Anybody else have a reaction, good, bad, or whatever? Yes?
It's Nina.
Nina, hi, Nina.
I have a question.
Yes. Okay.
Is the when you tap the feet, mm-hmm. how do you tap the feet?
Oh, thank you. Well, you're just like, let me see how, if I can explain this any better than I obviously didn't. It's like you know, like if you tap your hand on the on a surface, or you tap your fingers. It's just tapping your feet, like one foot down and then up, and then another foot down and up. It helps if you could do it standing or sitting. So does that make any more sense?
You just do it with your feet, but you don't tap them with your fingers.
That's right. Yeah, you're just tapping your feet. You're not tapping it with your fingers. That's right.
Thank you.
Otherwise, it'd be more complicated. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
If you can think of an easier way to say that, I'm not always that great at giving physical instructions, so just tell me. So, any other questions?
I just wanted to make a comment.
Yes?
What
and who's this?
What I was missing
yes?
was you explicitly saying, I feel left out, I feel not worthy, and I don't like that.
Okay. Out and unworthy. So we'll get that in our second clearing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, a lot of the misfit stuff is going to, or the outsider is going to come up in different clearings too, because later on we will be, in a central way, addressing the unworthiness part, but we're doing it from this angle at this moment. So that'll come into the next clearing. Thanks a lot. I'll get that out. Anybody else want anything else here before we go?
Okay, Loretta here.
Loretta, yes.
What I was realizing was the place of familiarity with this outside feeling, like being on the outside, which I can relate to 100%, maybe
yes.
150%. But anyway, it's associated with my growing up when we were poor.
Yes.
And I'm not too sure if I can explain it, but I see a real connection between being an outsider and being poor, and almost like a choice. It's more familiar for me to be on the outside, and therefore not to have money and to be poor is a piece of it. It's hard to break out of a familiar pattern, I guess is what I'm saying.
Exactly.
And what I realized when you were doing that, which, by the way, was powerful, your being the 13th witch just really and truly was powerful. But at the very end, I felt a deep sadness, and I felt it in your voice. I heard it in your voice, and I felt it in my gut. And it was around the words, a girl I could have loved so dearly.
Right.
And I realized that that curse was a curse that I put on myself.
Mm.
That I was the girl I could have loved so dearly, And I have really, in a sense, cursed her and,
yeah.
and made her be who I've become. I mean, all of this isn't true at the outside level and at the maybe the middle level, but the deep down level, that's the pain for me, is that because of my acceptance of the being an outsider and not being deserving and not being worth anything, the girl that I could have loved so dearly is the girl inside of me, myself. And it's a real call to be aware. That's what I want to say.
Oh, Loretta, that's so beautiful how you've put it. And so, yeah, so interesting. It gives it gives me insight on that character, too.
Oh, within your voice.
Inside myself, too.
Yeah.
So, and for me, up to now, I thought, well, it's because you don't really want to hate everybody or curse everybody.
Right.
But you do in some ways.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you have a conflict with somebody, and on some levels you can love them, and then other levels you're just totally angry at them because they have rejected you.
Yeah.
And, so that's the...
Thank you.
This is Anne. I just wanted to say a quick thing, if that's okay. Hello?
I think Katie might have, it sounds like she got dropped off the call. I think she might be calling in from Skype because she's not there. So I have a feeling just wait a second and she'll be back.
Katie, I felt a lot of grief. Hello?
I think Katie got dropped off the call.
Anybody there?
Yeah.
Hello? I can hear you.
I felt a lot of grief. I wanted to be loved. And I think it sort of makes a wimp out of me. Instead of having the rage, I want the other person to like me. And because of that, I compromise myself without meaning to, just I'm afraid to be myself.
Like you betray yourself?
Betrayal or just, you know, it's like the ugly duckling, I guess.
That's interesting. I have the opposite, where I feel absolutely defiant. And it, when Katie was reading, it was great. Like, I hex you all. It was like, yeah, I'm different. I'm superior. I'm better. I don't want to be part of your game anyway. And I'm going off to do something far more interesting. And it's like the part of me that knows I can't be the best is already given up, so I can't compete with you, so I'm going to play by totally different rules, and I make myself an outsider.
Yeah, you know, this is Denise. I'm experiencing something right now in an online group that what Katie read really resonated with me, and it reminds me of when I was growing up and when I was in school and even when I was in college. I was always in these male-dominated fields, so I was in engineering, and even in my early career, it was all guys and me, and my voice was never, I was always obviously different because I was the one female in the room, but, you know, the guys would always take over, and I just realized, you know, part of what I did was just say, you know, I mean, and of course, in technology and whatnot, they were the ones that were brilliant, and they were the ones that were making money. And my contribution was, I had to really fight to be heard, and I was always the outsider. And I just, you know, just cursing that felt so good. But now I'm experiencing the same pattern in an online community that I'm involved in, where the guys have taken over, and it's like, you know, I'm so tired of this. I'm just so tired of being, you know, not recognized for the value that I bring.
Hello.
Welcome
Hello?
Back, Katie.
Hi.
I'm so sorry. I got chucked off. My upstairs phone went completely off, and which is unusual, but it being Mercury retrograde, I guess I shouldn't think it's unusual.
We had a good discussion while you were out of the room.
Oh, wonderful. I'll be able to use the recording. I was hoping I would get on before everybody had had decided to go off. So I'm not sure what was heard last time. Like at what point, were you hearing me and I wasn't hearing you, or what was going on?
I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me.
Okay, and then of course I got off completely. Mm-hmm.
And I missed something happened with your microphone. I missed the writing exercise that you said. I heard the story and the stream of consciousness, but the writing exercise was really muffled.
Oh, really? And so the sound has not been good for a while?
Right. We couldn't hear the last two or three paragraphs.
Katie, it wasn't the conversation. It was right after you did your writing, what you read to us, and then you gave us instructions. We could barely hear it.
Yeah.
But
oh.
We've been able to hear the conversation since we began to share with you what, you know, what was coming up in us. So, but
oh.
Your instructions were not really audible. At least I could hardly hear it. That's the best way
oh,
to put
dear.
It.
So I guess, okay. Yeah, all sorts of things have been going on here. So the writing exercise, if I can remember it myself, is just to, I'm just wondering what I was saying because I tend to improvise a little bit, but was to look at the story yourself and just write a little bit about what came up for you, like in what ways you identified with this outsider. So you can do that later. I just gave you a little bit of time to put down your reactions to what I was reading. Okay?
But also it was the feeling of being the outsider even by you. That
yes.
Not by you personally, but, you know, here I am on this call, yes. and she's talking about being an outsider, and I can't hear her.
Wow.
I could hear her, but she couldn't hear me.
And then I got chucked off the phone, so I was outside my own class. So it's really interesting how technology tends to pick up beliefs and things like that. So later on, I'm going to listen to your discussion. Is there anybody who would like to just encapsulate the discussion that you had or some things that we may want to clear that I may not have heard?
This is Anne. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
This phone is working now. I got two different lines.
I just wanted to add one little piece because for me, this whole piece of being outside has always been about being forgotten. And I can see how I recreate that in my life, and I can also, you know, look back and find the connection to when I was a little girl. I had dreams when I was 7 of being forgotten by my family, like repeated dreams. So
wow.
It's been been here around here for a long time, and I'm trying to shake it, you know, because I know I'm recreating it myself.
Right. Yes. Oh, thank you so much for adding that. And anything else that anybody would like to say?
This is Loretta. What I realized in the conversation that went on while you were gone,
yes,
was there are two responses. When one feels like an outsider, there's this sense of compromising oneself and trying to find a way to fit in and, you know, to be heard or to be part of, and betraying oneself sometime. And then the other response is just to get damn angry and just curse everything.
Yes.
And I the reason I remember it is because I know both of those in myself. There are times when I, you know, have that sense of, you know, well, if I do this, maybe they'll listen. Or if I do this, I'll be noticed and brought in. And then the other thing is I don't give a damn. I just, you go your way and I'll go mine. So I was struck, when you listen to the conversation, that's what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
The parts of myself, depending on where I am at a time when I get this sense of being outside and not noticed and not attended to. And So, but it was a very good conversation. I appreciated it because I heard myself in both places.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So thank you very much for bringing that up and telling me about that so I can kind of be on the inside. So it is like two polarities that are in us. That one is that, you know, we try to please. And I see this in myself. I've tried to please. I've done everything to be a good girl and fit in. And then there's the other part that's been the total rebel. And, you know, fuck you all. I'm going to do what I want and how I want to do it. And they can alternate. I mean, they alternate a lot. And, you know, even in the same day or whatever, depending on the person. So, and in none of those is there a real freedom because, as a rebel, you can actually do some great things for the world. But there's, if it's just in reaction, in the end it undermines you, and it undermines your ability really to make changes. And okay, so I'm going to just go into some more clearing around what's come up, and hopefully I'll be able to pick up what you all need in terms of clearing this. So we'll do that. Is everybody still hearing me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, good. And anything else before I go on? Go? Or?
Yes, can I just put in just a comment? I'm just sweating. I just came to the realization that the way I handle being an outsider is to go into fear and hide. I want to run away and the world shouldn't find me.
Right. Yeah.
I don't want to be burned at the stake. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So, okay, so we're going to, and an outsider, and we'll be getting into this in some of the other calls, classic outsiders. Some of us, we may remember or have ancestral memories as women of being burnt at the stake for being healers, and that actually makes us want to hide our present talents. So,
There's one other thing.
Yeah.
Of identification with the baby and the curse on oneself at the same time one is cursing the baby or jealous of the baby for all that attention.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And then
wonderful.
So 50 years later, are running into our own traumas and wondering where they come from.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. And all of us have different traumas, and some of them are pretty profound, as well as those of our parents that we took on. For example, I was a child of an Austrian. My father was an Austrian Jew, and he got out, but his a lot of his family, including his mother, went to the concentration camps. Not talked about in our household, but what happened to me is that I, on a subconscious basis, picked up all, and I think all of us, you know, picked up a whole load of stuff around being a Jew and unwanted. And in fact, I discovered some of this when I did some mask work where I made a mask of the Holocaust. And I actually frightened my teacher, who was a mask teacher, who couldn't quite take the intensity. But I went through a lot of discoveries there. And I actually went into this place where I was just hiding in a hole, hearing the, I was hearing things like bombs going off and all that, and just feeling totally disgusting and horrible and rejected because I was a Jew. And the Jews were, there were horrible things said about them, of course, as well as things done to them. So it's a high, you know, I hear you with this fear of what might be done to you as a outsider. And there's, you know, for blacks, they were lynched. For gay people, there's all kinds of things that have happened and are still happening. So why would we want to be, show ourselves as an outsider when we could bring on such such problems? So great, great point. Anything else, or I will actually, I better go into the clearing. Okay, so here we go. I even though I feel like as an outsider I am not safe, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel like as an outsider it's not safe to be who I am, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though as an outsider I feel it's not safe or acceptable to be me, I deeply love and accept myself. I'm tired of not being me. I'm really tired of not being me. Not being me fully, just being me in reaction or pleasing. I don't want to please anybody else but me. I don't want to please anybody else but me. I don't want to please anybody else but me. I just want to be me. Every part of me, not having to hide my gifts, my sexuality, my gifts, everything, my sexuality. I don't want to hide it. I don't want to hide my preferences, my quirks. I don't want to hide my abilities, my talents. I don't want to be cursed by others. I don't want to be taunted by others. I don't want to be the poor one that is pitied. I don't want to be that anymore. I don't want to be pitied. I don't want to be pitied. I don't want to be exorcised from society. I don't want to be thrown out anymore. I don't want to be on the outside. I want to be on the inside with people like me, with everybody like me, on the inside, not the outside. How many people suffer from being outsiders in their hearts and souls? How many people are suffering from being outsiders from hearts and souls? How many people feel like they're part of what we have created as a human species? How many people feel connected to that? How many people, even at the highest level, feel connected to what we have created? What we have created as a species out of our wonderful creative ability. We have created destruction. We have created machines and machine-like people. We have created it. Why don't we just uncreate it? Why don't we just imagine a new world into being? Why don't we imagine a new world into being? Why don't we lift the curse, lift the spells, stop pleasing, and be ourselves? And as we be ourselves, liberate all those other people to be themselves, to get out of the shell, to get out of the crust, to get out of the disgusting, horrible feeling of not being accepted. To free the people to want to live, not to die. To be there for the kid who gets bullied. To be there for the woman who feels utterly, utterly bereft. To be there for the man about to take his life because he does not feel part of it at all. Let us be there. Let us be there. Let us be part of the solution. Let us lift the curse. Let us lift the sleeping beauty from 100 years, 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years of sleeping, and let us rise up. Let us rise up, us, the sleeping beauties, the sleeping handsome men, the sleeping wonderful women, let us rise up. Let our real selves rise up. Let our real selves rise up. Okay. I don't know if any of you are still there. I'm hoping. Am I still on the call?
Yep.
Good.
Yes. So I'm going to take a couple of responses, and we're going to use the healing codes, okay, just to give us that beautiful feeling of relaxation before we go to our day.
So anything that people would like to bring up?
I would just like to mention the alternatives to violence, men in particular, but also women who feel beaten down by women, mm-hmm. and all the domination of men in our culture, who are trying to do the same thing that I am as a woman.
Yeah.
To become themselves. And
thank you.
All the holy heck that is created.
Yes.
Destruction.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. And you're welcome to share later on Facebook or, you know, even drop me a line. It would be actually quite wonderful if some of you put some comments on the Facebook page about how some of this is impacting you and sharing that. So I'm going to go into the healing codes, and I'm not sure if everybody was on the call yesterday, and I'm going to give a there are resources for learning these techniques, but I'm going to go very briefly through it, is that you're cupping your hands, and it's like, and your fingertips together, and you're going to be focusing your energy on four different centers, and I'll just lead you through it. First of all, we have a prayer, and which is an intention for healing. And while we're doing this, we don't focus on all the negative stuff that's come up, but basically we let it, if it comes up, we just let it be. But our focus is on a feeling of relaxation, a feeling of, or a statement which corresponds to what we can believe in. It's not an affirmation that we don't believe in, but a truth-focused statement. And I'm going to suggest that the truth-focused statement that you might want to use would be, I'm able to shine as myself. And you can adapt it to your needs. Or just focus, as I said, on a feeling of relaxation. So I pray, request that all known and unknown negative images, unhealthy beliefs, and destructive cellular memories, and all resulting physical issues related to me feeling an outsider, both in this life and other past lives, in the memories of my family and ancestral memories, be found open and healed, filling me with the love, life, and light of the creative force. I also, of the God, of the divine, of however I want to, however I define that. I also ask that the effectiveness of this healing be increased by 100 times or more, and that I draw on all the energy of this circle, this loving circle, to release these beliefs. Now, you cup your hands, both of your hands, side by side, and about 2 inches away from the skin, the first area that we're focusing on is in between the eyebrows around, and you've got your two hands cupped with your fingertips together. It's like pointing the energy towards this area, and you're about 2 inches away from the skin. And don't worry if you get it wrong. There's no wrong here. Just the intention to heal. And I'm doing it for all of you as well. So, focusing on the truth statement, I'm able to shine myself. So, I'm able to shine as myself. I'm able to be myself. I fully accept being myself. All those things. So the energy is streaming out of your hand towards that area, which is around the third eye in between the eyebrows. Okay. And we're just letting go of all those feelings as an outsider that were not acceptable, that were disgusting and horrible, and all those things that we may have internalized, and accepting the beauty of who we are. Okay, down to the throat,
and there's an area where there's the Adam's apple, or just sort of the middle of the throat. Just have both of your hands focusing towards here, focusing the energy, again, a couple of inches away from the skin. Breathing deeply in and out. I accept myself. I'm on the inside. I let go of the curses. I let go of the anger. I love that little girl in me that got so hurt. I love that little boy in me that got so hurt. And now to the corner of the side of the jaws, focusing the energy there. And you've got the left hand pointing the energy towards the left jaw, and the right hand pointing the energy towards the right jaw.
Hi.
And then we're going to be moving up to the side of the temples. And then again, we're going to go in between the eyebrows. Then down to the throat area, that seat of expression of who we are. What we are. And allowing ourselves to bring our message, our talents to the world. Okay, then I go to the, or you go to the, as well, to the side of the jaws and point the energy there. Then to the side of the temples again. And then put your hands on top of your head for a moment and just let them rest there. And when you're finished, just let your hands drop down to your side, open your eyes, and allow it to rest on something, or them to rest on something beautiful in your environment for a few moments. And my friends, were about finished with the session. If anybody would like to make a final comment, please do right now. And then we'll, usually people are so blissed out or whatever, relaxed by this, that it's hard to be verbal, including me. But if anybody would like to be verbal, just say, pipe in right now. And let me see. What I would urge you to do today is, well, after this session, if you haven't taken it, if you haven't been drinking water right now,
drink lots of water. You can also, one thing that's great for when you're releasing a lot of energy and old stories is Epsom salt baths, where you put about a cup of Epsom salts if you have them on hand, or just sea salt and have a nice hot warm bath. There's also, I think, as much as you can journal and about your experiences, about what you're thinking, feeling, you know, any other negative beliefs or patterns that come to mind, just please write that down. And the best way to write is not to edit or censor yourself. Just have your hand on the page and write and write and write. And that gets out some of the best writing. And, well, in a journal, you don't need to censor yourself anyway. So thank you all very much for being on this call and for your wholehearted participation. And sorry about the technical problems. We have this session of the Money Marathon right in Mercury retrograde, which is interesting. And I'm sure a lot of you are dealing with some of the technical problems that come with that. So, but it's also a great time to look over your life and see the patterns and all that. So there's another thing where it's a very good time to do it. So goodbye to everybody.
Take care,
and have a wonderful day, and we'll see you tomorrow on the call.
Thank you, Kitty.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, Kitty.